We're going to be looking at how to deal with sin in your life this morning, and looking at something that is very a battle that is happening. And we've looked at the battle that's within our culture, but there's also a culture within Christianity that is becoming more and more prevalent, that is really driven by the deception that, hey, we don't really need to deal with our sin. The holiness doesn't matter as much, and these things don't matter. So why do we, and I can have a relationship with God and still have sin in my life. I can do this, I can do that. And a lot of the non-denominational churches and different types, not all of them, but some of them, promote that, and that, hey, this is how we need to live our life, and I can live it the way I want, and I can live the life the way I want and still go to church and be the right kind of Christian. Is that really true, or is sin a big deal to God? Now, Joshua chapter 6, we're going to look over there, and we're going to look at the account of a man that disobeyed the command of God. He sinned. That's what sin is, the transgression of the law. And that is the definition that the Bible gives. The transgression of whose law? God's law. When we break a law here in the United States of America, it's the law of the land. We break the Constitution of the United States, that is breaking the law. So that is, and there's a consequence to breaking the law. Though people today are pretty good at getting out of their consequences when they break the law, no matter how good of a lawyer you have, you can't get out of the consequences with God. We can't do that. You can get a good lawyer in the United States of America, get away with murder, literally, depending who the judge is and who you talk to and who you pay off. But you can't do that with God. As Christians, we can't do that. And sometimes maybe people view that, well, I've always gotten in trouble, but I've always been able to get off for good behavior. I've always been able to get my consequences reduced or very minimal. I've always been able to get away with it. Well, as a Christian, you can't get away with it. You're saved. And we're going to look at that this morning. We'll look at Joshua chapter 6 and verses 16 and following down through chapter 17. And it's an account. It's an account of a man named Achan. And we know the account, but there's something I want us to look at in here this morning. Whenever I get to it here, I'll keep skipping over it. Joshua chapter 6. And looking at the command of God, also looking at what the steps that we need to take and what mistakes that Achan made. And that's one thing about the Bible. We have so many good examples of what people did right, but also we have examples of what people did wrong and how we can fix that, how we can avoid that. We can learn a lesson from the negative examples as well as the positive examples of the Bible. Sometimes some churches, they focus on the positive examples, which we need to. It doesn't all need to be doom and gloom. Look at everyone did wrong, you stop doing wrong. No, we do need to be encouraged. We need to be uplifted. However, a lot of the instruction that God gives is in the negative sense in the Bible. What to avoid, or what is the consequence of this? Because we see in our life the consequences and the fruits of righteousness, of doing right, we see those. But it's really, we see the forward-looking, the forward end of the road, if you will. God gives us that in the Bible when it comes to sin, when it comes to disobeying His law. So Joshua chapter 6 and verses 16, we'll start there, and we'll read down through 17 verse 1. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now, the city of Jericho, okay? And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Okay, now this is important. Keep yourself from the accursed thing. What is that? Lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up unto the city, into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of God. Now, verse 25. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers with Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in his firstborn. Now, chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdidah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake of them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, we go down through the chapter here, and now we look here. Verse 14, In the morning therefore ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord hath taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And right here in verse 20, And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So, right here, a sin is committed against God. And right here we see the children of Israel, they have just come into the land, the promised land. They had just crossed over the Jordan River. Jericho was the first battle that they fought, and the Lord caused the walls to completely fall flat. Jericho was a very heavily fortified city, and was the only way to penetrate it was to have the walls completely fall flat, and God did that. There wasn't any dynamite or anything that they used. That was a miracle of God. However, he did give some instructions. He didn't say, just go up and take it, do whatever you want. He said everything, certain things would be destroyed. Everyone's to be killed. All the animals were to be killed, and everything was to be burnt. The city was to be burnt with fire. Only the gold, the silver, and the brass were going to go into the treasury of the Lord. Those were the only things that they were to take. Everything else was accursed, or as you would say, unclean. They were not to take it. They were not to touch it. They were not to do anything with it but destroy it. Okay? Now, this command was very clear, and we see in verse number 18, And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse. So God warns them, if they take of any of these things, that it's not only going to affect them, but it's going to affect the entire camp of Israel. God warns them about that. And said, so don't do it. And you would think that if someone was warned about it, that they wouldn't do it, right? You would think, you know, hey, this is what's going to happen. You know, what do we have all the time? You know, click it or ticket. Hey, fasten your seatbelt, you're going to get a ticket. You would think everyone would listen to that and everyone would fasten their seatbelt, right? Wrong. Why? Well, because we want to do things our way. Because I don't care. I didn't vote for that law. I didn't make that law. So I don't have to follow. Well, we didn't make these laws either. God did. So there becomes a pattern we must follow in our Christian life. How do you deal with sin in your life? Well, how did sin get there in the first place? Because you disobeyed God's law. Now, sometimes we sin in ignorance, okay? There are times that we don't understand the law of God and we sin and do wrong. When we become aware that we have done wrong, our first response is not to get mad at the Bible. No, our first response is, hey, we need to get rid of this. We need to confess that. That happens to many people that are in church. They learn, I didn't know that was a wrong thing to do. I didn't realize that was wrong. And then people, they get it right. And they don't do it anymore. However, there are others that know better and do wrong still. So Achan would be one who knew better and did wrong anyway. So right here we see, now here we're going to look at three areas. And that what happened to Achan? What does he say in verse 21 of chapter 7? And I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid under his tent. So what he saw something. How's the devil work? All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All three of those were in play there. He saw it. And he saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the gold, even though he knew the gold was the Lord's. So not only, he said, well, he just stole from people that were to be defeated. No, he stole from God. That's important to understand that. So he sees these things, and he looks at them. He goes, man, that's a really nice shirt. Babylonian garments were very expensive, were very ornate, and wow, man, this is going to be the talk of the office party if I wear this to the next one, right? This is going to be nice and everything. But here is one thing that you have to understand. Think about this. He took it, but then after he took it, you know what he realized? People are going to wonder where I got it. Because the Israelites didn't dress like everyone else. Okay? So what he had to do, he had to hide it. People are going to know where I got this, right? And they're going to know I disobeyed, so he had to hide it. So he took the gold and he took the silver. You know, he just wanted a little nest egg. He didn't take a lot. He just wanted a little nest egg, a little savings, a little spending money. Where are you going to spend it? You know, maybe he said, you know, I'm going to buy myself a nice spread, but he forgot that God was going to give it to him. Didn't have to buy it. So what did he need any of this stuff for? He didn't need any of this stuff. He saw it, and I saw this goodly Babylonian garment, and I saw the silver and the gold, and you know how the story goes, it was just too much for me. You know, it was just too much, and I just had to have it, and I coveted it. So he looked at it, he goes, wow, man, I really want that. He's lingered, and he looked, and he said, you know what, I want that. And so that brings us to our first point. How do you deal with sin in your life? Number one, leave it. Don't take it. Leave it. You know what? We're presented with sinful choices every single day. Every single person is. Unless you lock yourself in your room. You know, but even then, it doesn't matter if you're locked in your room or your closet somewhere. You're still going to be presented with sinful choices in what you think and your attitudes and things like that. We're always presented with that. We're not always presented with physical temptations always. With physical, like stealing or things like that. But we are tempted to maybe think things in our mind that are incorrect. We're tempted to have attitudes that are incorrect. We are tempted to use words that are incorrect. So what do we do with that? When we're presented with those choices, we're presented with that, what do? We leave it. We leave it there and don't take it. When we're tempted to take that which God has commanded us not to, we need to call upon the God of heaven and refuse to take it. And what did Joseph, the classic example that Potiphar's wife wanted him to lay with her. And he said, no. Why? Not because, you know, this, I might catch a disease. You know, that's not what he said. What did he say? He said, how can I do such a great sin in the sight of my God? He was concerned about disobeying God. He wasn't concerned about the physical ramification, though there would be. He was concerned, no, this is wrong. My God has said, thou shalt not commit adultery, fornication, or anything like that. This is what the God, law of my God is, and this is what is right. I'm not going to do that which is wrong. And Achan should have done that. Achan should have said, no, he shouldn't have even looked at it twice. He saw that there, but you know what? No, he should have had prepared going in. None of this stuff is here, should be, is mine. None of it's mine. It's either going to be destroyed. If I saw silver or gold, you know what his responsibility was? To pick it up, take it, and take it to the priest and put it into the treasury of God's house. That was his job as a soldier of Israel. He was to pick it up and take it. It wasn't bad that he took the silver and the gold. It's that he didn't put it where it was supposed to go. He disobeyed the command of God. Just as Joseph fled from sin, Achan should have. God always makes a way of escape. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's always a way of escape. But I wonder what the attitude that Achan had towards that command. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He's not going to let you down. So don't ever think that, well, God wasn't there for me when I was tempted to sin. Oh, he's there. He's faithful. He's going to be there. And remember what James 1 says. The Lord tempteth no man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation's not God's fault. That's the devil's fault, and it's our fault for falling into it. Now, therefore I take no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. A way of escape. There's always a way out. Choice. Achan had a choice to make. He knew the command of God. It was not a sin of ignorance. The instructions were very clear. He thought that he could get away with it. No one can get away with sin. Sin has consequences. And the devil wants you to think, hey, I can get away with it. I can hide it. No one else will know. That's true. No one else in the Israel camp knew. By the way, how did he take all these things and no one noticed him? He was by himself. It's the only way no one would have known. He was by himself. He took these things. And how did he hide these things? You know what he had to do? He had to leave the battle to go take these things back. He had to leave what God wanted him to do, to go hide his sin. Think about that for a minute. So he was doing the job that God wanted him to do, but he didn't obey the command. He should have seen the gold and the silver and said, hey, I've got to take this back. I've got to do my fighting here, and I've got to go take this back and put it in the treasury of God's house. So here, now here's the question. The devil wants you to think that, well, I can't reveal my sin because then I'm going to get in trouble. That I'm going to get in trouble, and then, and he knew that this offense was a death penalty. He knew that. It was very well known that this type of thing, of disobeying the Lord in such a way, was a death penalty. But instead of leaving it, he took it. So, okay, so what do we do now? So how do you deal with the sin? That brings us to number two, is that he should have confessed it and not hid it. He made a mistake and did wrong. You know what you do? You confess it. If you hide it, then the judgment of the Lord will be upon you, but the Lord is merciful. When we have sinned, we need to confess our sin before the Lord, just as 1 John 1 says, for he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we but confess our sin, confess and forsake our sin. Nothing is worse than refusing to confess your sin before the Lord God. Our pride will keep us from admitting our sin. Remember, Cain didn't admit his sin. The Lord spoke to him and said, "Doesn't sin lieth at the door? Doest thou well to be angry? Wilt thou, if you do right, won't you be accepted? If you don't, sin lies at the door." And the Lord was right. Isn't that amazing? The Lord's always right. He's always right, isn't he? The Bible's always right. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you look at something, well, this is not going to work out this way. You know, you read, some people read, oh man, he's going to get away with it. But then when the Lord says, bring the congregation together, you're like, you read it, you're like, uh-oh. He gets it down to tribe, to the clans, and then to the households, and then individual families. And the Lord said, it's this family right here. Then, when the finger was pointed, Achan said, you know, then he had to be plainly asked here in verse number 20. Verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. So we see, and then before that was brought to the household of Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So the Lord said, that one, that family right there. So Joshua said, so make a confession. What happened? And he told what he did. Cain did not admit a sin. David did not admit a sin right away either. For some people think for upwards of a year he did not. And spiritually dried up until Nathan came and told him, "Thou art the man." Instead of confessing and forsaking our sin, why did David not want to admit a sin? Well, I'm king. I mean, I can't ruin my reputation. You know, I can't do that. But you know something? He had already ruined his reputation because I'm sure there was people in the palace that knew. There was his servants that knew, his guard. They all knew. But they didn't say it was their place to tell about those things. But David had to confess it. And he did confess it. God wants to forgive us, but when we hide it from him in our hearts, God will judge. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, what would have happened if Achan had just confessed it, said, "I did wrong," and confessed and did wrong. Now, it makes me wonder if others had maybe done wrong in that time. I don't know. I'm supposing here, okay? I'm supposing. So this is a pastorism, okay? Because knowing we see that God is merciful and God is just and God forgives, doesn't he? When we call upon him, he forgives us. Did others that were in Jericho that day, did they sin, but did they go and confess it? Well, it's not recorded there, yes, because God forgives and doesn't record it. But, that's a supposition. But what would the outcome have been with Achan? Would he have still gotten the death penalty? I don't know. But he would have been forgiven. Achan confesses why? Does Achan confess out of a pure heart? Here's a question here. Does Achan confess out of a pure heart? What do you think? Why did he confess? He was caught. I mean, what would you do? You stand before millions of people. They're all assembled before the Lord, by the way. And Joshua, the president of Israel at that time, the leader of Israel, the spiritual leader, the military leader, ask you, okay, make confession, give glory to God, confess. What have you done? God told me, you've done it. What do you do? He was caught. He said, there's no way I can get out of this. You can't get away from Almighty God. You can't get away from him. So what did he do? He confessed it because he was caught. Now, David confessed because he was caught, yes, but he had a different heart about it. He knew he had done wrong, but he was broken over his sin. Now, Achan confessed because he was caught. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. He was hiding it. He was judged by the Lord. His consequence was severe, not only to him, but to his family, who had nothing to do with his taking it. And that is the reality of sin. As parents, we think we can sin, it'll have no effect on our kids. You're wrong. Kids, you think you can sin and it won't have any effect on your parents. You're wrong. We think that we can sin and it won't have any effect on the house of God. You're wrong. It has an effect. And I will tell you something. This happened on a couple of different occasions since being here. And Pastor Harvey, I think this has probably happened in his ministry. And I've talked to other pastors that happens to them. And when God isn't blessing the church, I said, "Lord, remove the sin." Within 2 months, there's someone out of here that was in sin. That's happened 2 times, an answer to my prayer. "Lord, get the sin out of the church." 2 months, that person's gone. That was causing sin. I didn't know who it was. And the church begins to be blessed each time, right? You know what, and Brother Starr calls that, he uses a phrase, but a disgruntled revival. You know, someone leaves and then you have other people come in and get saved and the Lord starts blessing again. Because sin is removed. In the same way, because of Achan's sin, no one knew what had happened, and Joshua did make a mistake here when he went up to Ai. He didn't ask the Lord whether he should go up or not. He didn't pray. He didn't ask the Lord to go up to Ai. Hey, this was an easy victory. God's with us. Let's just go with it. And he went, and he went up there. You know what? There's not a lot of them. Let's just send a few little people, a smaller number of people. God is able to give us the victory, so let's go. And they lost. They were beaten down by a smaller force. And then Joshua goes and prays and say, "What, Lord, what happened? What's wrong?" If Joshua had prayed, the Lord would have told Joshua, "Don't go up to Ai. There's sin in the camp. There's something wrong." Because I think Joshua thought it wasn't possible that someone would sin the first few days in the new land. Right? They just spent 40 years walking in the wilderness because of 10 man's sin and the sins of those that rebelled against God. So they had just finished that whole route, and now they had faithfully taught their children. The new generation had risen up. They had seen that and said, "This is what happens when you sin. This is what happens when you disobey the command of God." So I don't know if Joshua thought, it's not possible the first battle we have that people mess up. But it happened. And sin was in the camp. So we find out we're supposed to leave it, not take it. But what happens if we do take it? Confess it, not hide it. And third, we need to be clean, not a reproach. Achan and his family were a reproach because of Achan's sin. Because Achan sinned and refused to confess his sin. You know, we see the consequence of Achan and the consequence upon his family. They took all that he had, all his material possessions, everything. They didn't want anything to do, basically, anything that that was connected to Achan. Literally, Achan was erased from the existence of Israel. Everything that was his, it was all gone. His tent, his animals, all his material possessions, his wealth. If it were today, it was that if literally, and put it in today's world, someone dies, that you go and you bury them, and then you burn down their house, and then you destroy all their money, and you take their car to the junkyard. I mean, everything, it was just all gone. Achan's existence was erased from Israel. His family, his descendants, they're all erased because of his sin. But if you remember the law of God, that he will visit the sin of the fathers among the second and third generation. That's why his family died. Because that was the promise of God, as I will execute judgment on the second generation and the third generation even. So what's the second generation? Your kids. What's the third generation? Your grandkids. So your sin now will affect your kids and also your grandkids. That's a dangerous thing. God wants to forgive, but there's consequences to sin. Achan became a reproach to the whole nation. And you think of the consequence that Achan had. So, wow, man, that was a bad situation. You know, there's one situation that was even worse than that. The one man's sin affected everybody else. That's Adam's. Imagine that, and that Adam's up in heaven right now. You know, some people say, "Well, Adam wasn't saved." I believe he is, and I believe he's in heaven right now. I believe he's there. But I don't know if they up in heaven can see what's going on here. You know, some people say yes, some people say no. I'm not going to get in debate about that tonight today. But if he can and see the world and the state it's in and the evilness of man, and he sits there and thinks, "That's because of me. Because I sinned." Some people say, "Well, if it wasn't him, it would have been somebody else." That's sin. Would have been somebody else. Now, there is some different theological debates about this, but if he had rejected the temptation and done right, then many people believe that the Lord would have destroyed the devil. And that there would be no even chance for man to sin after that. Some people believe that. I don't know. I think it's very difficult for us as human beings to sit there and say, "This is what God would have done." I don't think it's wise for us to do that, but some people suppose that. And that anyone else who had done wrong or disobeyed God later on would have been instantly killed. and be gone for all of eternity. That is what some people suppose. I don't know. I'm not going to get into supposing on that, but it's something to think about. So Achan had a consequence, not only him and his family, but let's take a look at who was affected by Achan's sin, and then we'll be done. Achan was affected, obviously. Joshua was affected. 36 men died at the hand of those at Ai because of his sin. Achan's wife, Achan's children, all of them were affected by his decision to do wrong. Instead of taking it, he should have just seen it, taken that and taken it to the Lord. And he robbed God. So, well, we can't rob God of that today. Oh, yes, we can. Malachi says, you bribed me in tithes and offerings. Giving to the Lord, giving your tithe, giving of your offerings to the Lord, you can steal from the Lord. Oh, God doesn't do anything. God doesn't judge me for that. You need to read your Bible. God does. Well, it's not all about money. I'm not saying this to, well, you need to give money to the church. No, you need to make sure you're right with God. That's part of our relationship with the Lord, is giving to Him what He has given to us. He has given us all of our life, all that we have. He's given it all to us, and all He asks of us is to give at the minimum 10%, but that's just not, you ever have to give. If God leads you to give more, you need to give more. To give of that 10%, I mean, Abraham did. All of them did. They were to give of their tithes to the Lord. But Israel didn't do that. Every time Israel did that, they got in trouble because they robbed God. They took from God. They took away something that was not theirs to take and use for themselves. What Israel did, they would give it to the pagan idols. They would give offerings to the other gods instead of themselves. And really, when people don't tithe and give to the Lord, they're sacrificing on the altar of themselves. Well, I don't have money to tithe because I've got to pay for this. I've got to pay for my gym subscription and things like that instead of tithe to the Lord. You're bowing down and placing that. You're sacrificing that money, but not where God would have you put it. You can be a reproach to your family. You can be a reproach to your church. You can be a reproach to the cause of Christ if we refuse to confess our sin. That's the judgment of the attribute of God. However, God is merciful. God is a merciful God. God is a good God. And God made a way through sacrifices for men to become right with Him. And through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity of being cleansed from our sin. Even as a Christian, we have an opportunity to be cleansed of our sin. God is merciful. But we think, well, I'm just going to get in trouble. Yes, there's going to be some consequences, but I tell you what, they're going to be a lot less than if you just hold on to it. God still has consequences. God doesn't stop the consequences, but God is merciful. And just as we looked on Wednesday night, the mercy of God that He doesn't execute sometimes the full extent of the punishment that He is allowed to, because He is merciful. He does do that. God's merciful and gracious to us. If we confess our sin, then do right. Confess, forsake our sin, and leave the sin there and confess it to God. God will forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a war that goes on in our hearts and our minds. The devil wants us to think that, well, we can get away with it. Well, we can do this. We can do that. We can. It's okay to live this way. Nothing's going to happen to you. That's the biggest lie. Nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing bad's going to happen if you do this. Nothing bad. You know, that's just a bunch of trumped up stuff. That's just what the church says. No, that's what the Bible says. There's a consequence to our sin always. But are we willing to confess and forsake it? And you know, if you look at, you know what happened also, Achan was an example to others. Do you think that was a very powerful motivator? We better listen to what God says. Would you think so if you saw that happen to somebody? He said, that's a very powerful motivator. I better do what's right. The fear of the Lord and His holiness and His righteousness. But we have this movement afoot. Oh, we don't need to fear God. He's a loving God. He doesn't care. Oh, yes, He does. He hasn't changed at all. He changes not. The same God that meted out the judgment to have Achan and his whole family wiped out is the same God that is still we love and serve today. It's the same one. Well, we're in a new dispensation. He changes how He deals with man in a way, yes, but also His character has not changed. His justice hasn't changed. His holiness hasn't changed. So we better not be sit there and be deceived. Well, I can sin and do what I want, and it won't affect anybody. It's only I'm going to go down the drain, or only it's never going to affect me ever. You know, God is a God of grace. I believe in God's grace and God's grace and His mercy. Don't ever presume upon the attributes of God. What I mean is, well, I can just ask God to forgive me for it later. I'll just do it now and say sorry later. And then God has to forgive me and it's all good, right? Well, Achan confessed it. I believe Achan asked for forgiveness. They still died. So don't believe the lie of the devil. Well, nothing's ever going to happen to me. I have, you know, and we think that we've got, you know, we got a loophole, right? Hey, God has to forgive me, so therefore I'm not going to get in trouble. So, gotcha. That's how some people, I don't think some of those people are saved when they do that. I don't believe that at all. That's called fire insurance salvation, that they, you know, fire, I'll have a little fire insurance so I don't go to hell. But people that do that and play around with God, I don't think there's some of them are really saved. Because it should grieve us in our heart to sin and do wrong. But that's what's taught in some churches today, unfortunately. There's quite a few churches that teach that type of thought process. Well, you just ask, you know, if we mess up, hey, it's okay. We can ask God to forgive us. It's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. You sinned and messed up. It is a big deal. But God still forgives. He lifts us up from the miry clay. That we're to help those that are taken over in a fault and lift them up and build them up and get them back on the right path again. That's what we're supposed to do, not sit there and condemn them. But God has His consequences and His results. In that, and this is the hard thing of some Christian parents, that there's still some consequences sometimes. Maybe they lived a life of sin. They were away from God, and they came back to God, but their kids were older. The consequence, their kids go astray. Well, why? I did what was right, yes, but there was a lot of still the consequences of what you did before. Now, is there still the mercy of God and there's still the grace of God and that your kids turn out right by the mercy and grace of God? Yes, absolutely. That does happen. However, and people, they have broken hearts and broken homes. Why? Because the consequences of sin that had already been done. Yes, had been forgiven and confessed and forsaken. There's still consequences that come. So young people, don't play around with sin. Don't play around with sin. Those of us who are older, don't play around with sin. It'll be visited upon our kids and our grandkids. We have to be careful. And I said, well, I don't do any of the big things, Pastor, but even if it's a little thing. It was a little thing for him to take just something from somebody that was dead. You know, technically it's not stealing, right? It was a little thing. It wasn't a real big thing, just a little bit of gold, you know, just taking a little bit for myself. You know, God has plenty. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, right? He has enough. He won't miss that. It wasn't really that bad. It wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, it wasn't that he committed fornication, adultery, or murdered somebody. He just took a little bit, and he died. Small sins have consequences just like big sins do. And it's we who make sins big and little, not God. You don't ever see, thou shalt not commit the big sins, but the little sins are okay. You don't see that. You see, sin is called sin. Are the consequences for sin different? Yes, they are different. However, sin is sin, and we should, as Christians, stay away from it. What do we do with it? Confess it. Leave it. Don't get into sin to begin with. But if you do, confess it. Don't hide it. And walk away from it. Don't be a reproach walking around in church or in your home or in your workplace. People in your life, ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will forgive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for today. I pray that You will bless the morning service. We thank You for our fathers in here today. We thank You for the God the Father that You gave me. I thank You, Lord, for Him and all that He taught me and all that He gave to me. And I thank You that I'm able to be a father to my two sons. I pray that You'd help me be the right kind of one. And, Lord, that we be faithful to confess our sin. For, Lord, You promised to clean us up and to fix us up. Lord, I pray that we eschew evil and not take part in the evilness of the day. Help us to stand strong. I pray that You give us that power and that strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.